We're about 6 minutes away from the midday for this Tuesday afternoon, and we'll have a nice dose of music from the UW Russian Folk Orchestra and some insights provided by their director in their 25th anniversary concert coming up. Viktor Gorodinsky will have also the work of one Dario Castello, and we'll hear from Max Bruch in the form of a canzone, and the famous Fantasy Impromptu in C-sharp minor by Frédéric Chopin. We'll have also, of course, a quiz question for you at 12:30 in today's category, automotive history, and see what you can make of that question, and this could be your day to win our prize by getting a correct answer to our 12:30 quiz question. It's all part of the midday, and it follows these stories in the news from NPR and WPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Biden meets with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and other congressional leaders this afternoon in an effort to work out a deal to avoid a default on the nation's debt. Here's NPR's Asma Khalid.
The White House and Republicans have been at a standoff over raising the debt ceiling. Republicans have been demanding major spending cuts. The White House says the obligations to pay down existing debt is a separate issue from the budget. A source familiar with the discussions says potential areas of common ground could include things like permitting reform. But the two sides remain far apart on other issues, such as new work requirements for Medicaid and food assistance. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen issued a letter yesterday reiterating the urgent need for Congress to raise the debt ceiling, or the government could default on its debt as early as June 1st. Asma Khalid, NPR News.
The Treasury Department is announcing sanctions against a top Russian-speaking cyber criminal. The hacker is well known on dark web forums for breaking into systems and selling access for ransomware attacks. NPR's Jenna McLaughlin has details.
The U.S. government has frequently criticized Russia for failing to prosecute cybercriminals operating from within their borders. One key example is a Russian-speaking hacker who commonly goes by the username Wazawaka and who has been exploiting systems and selling his services on dark web forums for years. One example was the breach of Washington, D.C.'s Metropolitan Police Department. Brian Krebs, an independent cybersecurity journalist, was the first in January 2022 to reveal the hacker's real name, Mikhail Matveev. Now, the U.S. Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control has added Matveev to its list of specially designated nationals, putting cyber-related sanctions on his accounts. Now, it will likely be harder for him to travel. Jenna McLaughlin, NPR News.
The Department of Justice says it is charging a former Apple engineer with attempting to steal autonomous systems technology. Matt Olson, who leads the DOJ's National Security Division, says the stolen code is alleged to be trade secrets used by U.S. companies to develop self-driving cars and advanced automotive manufacturing equipment.
These cases demonstrate the breadth and complexity of the threats we face, as well as what is at stake.
According to an April indictment unsealed today, the suspect, Weibao Wang, took a U.S.-based job with a Chinese company in 2017, a year after he was hired by Apple. Officials say the former Apple engineer fled to China shortly after federal agents searched his home in 2018 and uncovered large quantities of Apple-related data. The Dow is down nearly 200 points, or roughly 0.5%. It's NPR News.
This is Wisconsin Public Radio News at 12:04. I'm Alex Crow. The state's school attendance rate reached a new low of 91% last year. Corrine Hess reports chronic absenteeism continues to be an issue, with nearly a quarter of Wisconsin students missing at least a month of school.
Milwaukee Public High School students attended only 70% of the time last year, according to state numbers. Students are considered chronically absent when they attend less than 90% of school. Quentin Claibon is a researcher with the Conservative Institute for Reforming Government. He says children's mental health and restrictive quarantine policies drove absenteeism last year.
Kids were often sent home to quarantine for a week, then they came back to substitute teachers filling in for quarantine teachers. It was this vicious cycle. Many school districts barely bounced back academically because simply children were not in class.
Wisconsin is not alone. A nationwide survey found 72% of public schools saw an increase in chronic absenteeism among students and teachers during last school year. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin pools may open later than expected due to worker shortages this year. That comes despite efforts to lure potential lifeguards with higher pay and free training. The city of Green Bay is still trying to hire 15 more full-time lifeguards. Communities around the state have had similar lifeguard shortages in recent years. Authorities in Green Bay say the city increased the pay to $16 an hour to try and attract new lifeguards. This is Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Bank of America, offering access to resources and digital tools designed to help local to global companies make moves for their businesses. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness.
And now welcome to the midday for Tuesday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we'll have that quiz question for you at 12:30 having to do with advertising and automotive history, too, as promised earlier, between now and then. Among other things, the sounds of the UW Russian Folk Orchestra, which is now celebrating its, 25th year, all under the leadership of my guest today, Victor Gorodinsky. Welcome to the midday. Welcome back.
Hi, Norman. Thank you.
You've been here a couple of times before with performers.
I've been here several times, yes. Sometimes with live musicians, yes.
But you'll certainly have some live musicians on hand on May 20th, which is a Saturday, this coming Saturday.
Yes.
And 7:30 at the Unitarian Church in Madison in the atrium.
First Unitarian Society of Madison, the atrium, yeah.
Yeah, with a program of all performances by the UW Russian Folk Orchestra, and 25 years must have seemed at times like it's gone pretty quickly.
Oh, yes. It seems like we just started, last week. Yes.
Where do you draw your performers from?
Well, our membership changes quite a bit because we certainly have students. I mean, the orchestra is open to anybody. We are officially part of the UW, but it's open to the public. So we have a number of students, and with students, of course, they change often. But we have a few people who simply just live in town, so they're always here. We still have, after 25 years, we still have two or three players that have been there from the very beginning. They're still with us.
Always impressive.
Yep.
The track record.
So we have a couple of retired UW faculty. As I said, students, of course. Students, probably, I would say, about 50% of our players are students, UW students. Not necessarily music majors, but just students.
Sure.
Yes.
And, of course, some of them graduate in honor of
that. Some of them graduate, yes. And sometimes they stay, but most often they leave.
And you have you actually have a piece that you've recorded on your latest set of discs honoring those graduates.
Yes, we have. We played it. It's on our latest CD. It's called The Graduation Waltz, which is quite fitting because we just had the graduation this past weekend. And it's a beautiful waltz called Last Bell Rings, The Graduation Waltz.
graduation waltz or the bells?
The last bell rings.
The last bell rings.
Traditional thing
that
is.
That would
yes.
be apt. And what kind of instrumentation are we talking about with the UW Russian Folk Orchestra?
Well, we have kind of, you know, classic instrumentation for this sort of ensembles. We have two groups of stringed instruments. A lot of people are familiar with balalaikas, the triangular one. We have five different sizes. From small to really
enormous.
Large contrabasses. Yeah. We have three of them, yes. And we also have domras, which are oval-shaped instruments. Some people think they're kind of like mandolins. Well, there are similarities, but they're still different. And we have three sizes of domras. And we have three accordions, some percussion, of course. And we also have a flute and oboe.
And you even have, at least in one instance, flute. Soloist.
Yes, we'll have a flute soloist. This time, this concert that we'll have on Saturday, we'll also have the gusli, which is a kind of a, like an aura harp. We don't really have it, but somebody, one of our friends who is coming from Atlanta to play with us, is bringing the gusli, so we'll have it. It adds a lot to the sound.
Well,
yes.
And so it should for the 25th anniversary performance.
Yes.
And what's this next one that we have?
The next one, well, we can do the melody. Melody by composer Vlasov.
Okay.
And it's for flute and orchestra. And the flute solo was played by our flutist Anne Gath, who is still playing with us. And she is also a member of the Madison Flute Club.
In case you were wondering where the flute was, the flute is coming. Flute will be in our very next selection here. And that one that we just heard was?
That was, yeah, we misannounced that this was a romantic prelude by the composer Derbenko. Yes.
All right. Now to the flute piece.
Now the flute piece, yes. The melody, yes.
That's the name of it, Melody?
Just Melody, yes.
Thank you.
The name of the piece, Melody, and an unusual sound for the flute there.
Yes, this is our flutist, Anne Geth. She's been with us for many years. And in this particular piece, she was playing the alto flute, not just a regular flute, which I think was a wonderful sound, yes.
And so much of that Russian music, you get that kind of shimmering quality.
It's my
half-baked theory is that it's because kind of shivering.
Could be. It's possible. Certainly possible, yes.
But you are going to be drawing from musicians. You mentioned one coming from Atlanta. And other places that people are coming from, converging for this 25th anniversary concert?
Yes, we have a few people that are coming, some of our friends, musicians. We'll actually have three different soloists. Two of them are local, but the one on the balalaika, David Cooper, he's played with us before. In fact, he's been in the studio before.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, he lives in Atlanta. He is directing the Atlanta Balalaika Society Orchestra, ABS. So he's our balalaika soloist, so he's coming from Atlanta. And there are a couple more people from Atlanta. And then there is one more person coming from, I don't remember the city, somewhere in North Carolina. So they're just coming to perform with us. You know, so the orchestra will be even bigger than we are right now.
Yeah, because you do have several concerts throughout the year at one place or another.
Yes, yes.
Well, this is one to look forward to. It's this Saturday, that's May 20th, 7:30 p.m. at the First Unitarian on University Avenue in Madison, in the atrium there, and it's going to be the gala 25th anniversary concert of the UW Russian Folk Orchestra. You can get tickets online at their website. And what is that address?
The website is RFO, which stands for Russian Folk Orchestra, rfo.wisk.edu. That's all you need, and you'll see all the information there.
And their kingpin, Viktor Gordinsky, has been with me and with the orchestra for 25 years now.
Yep. Yes.
So
yes.
Thanks for stopping by. And
thank you, Norman. Thank you very much.
With us.
Thank you.